Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
The Bill Michaels Show. At the beginning of Bill Michaels, Radio Joe Zinzola across, and he's producing the program as always. We appreciate you being here. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends over at Bud Light. Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Glad to welcome in from Radio.com our buddy, the NFL insider, Ross Tucker, now joining us. You can hear him online on the Radio.com app, Sports NFL Insider Ross Tucker, catching him every weekday from 7 to 10 a.m. on the home and home, and he's got it going on. Ross, how you been, buddy?
Bill, fantastic, man. How about yourself?
We're doing well. We've got a baseball team that's winning here in Milwaukee. We've got a football team that's undefeated in Green Bay. You've got a big game between the Wisconsin Badgers and the Michigan Wolverines coming up. So life is good right now. You can't complain about this at all.
Yeah, really, man. You guys are on a roll. I'm looking forward to that game with the Badgers and the Wolverines. And you're right, especially the way the defense has been playing, 2-0, two division wins. You guys are riding high right now.
So let me ask you this. The offense, we talked a lot about not playing in the preseason, and they kind of poo-pooed it by saying, we don't need preseason, and we're going to be good, and it's all about Wednesday through Friday. And then they came out against the Bears, and they sputtered. And then, obviously, they came out really hot against the Vikings and then sputtered for three quarters after that. What do you make of this right now?
Well, I don't think you can make anything of the preseason aspect of it once you get to week two, certainly, and especially after you score three touchdowns to start the game. I mean, you know, if anything, you would think that they'd be rusty earlier in the game. I think what you still have is you have a quarterback and other players, for that matter, that are still learning a new system. And I'm not sure that the Packers have as much talent on the offensive side of the ball as they've had in recent years. I mean, I know Valdez-Scantling made a play, certainly against the Bears, a big one. But you look, and it doesn't compare when the days of them having Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson and Greg Jennings, or even just Cobb and Nelson to go with Davante Adams towards the end, or having a guy that could really stretch the middle of the field, you know, like JerMichael Finley. I think you've got a combination of less talent on the offensive side of the ball than you've had in a while, and a quarterback who's kind of an old dog trying to learn new tricks.
Do you like what you've seen from the defensive? Because they picked up, obviously, Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, Adrian Amos. They picked up guys in the offseason. There weren't big splashes, but they wanted to fortify this thing top to bottom, from secondary all the way up to the front. Do you like what you've seen defensively out of this team? Is this team for real in your mind?
Yes, they are. I think they've got – now, look, the Bears' offense isn't very good, primarily because Mitch Trubisky's not very good, but they still have – a very good defense. And it's not just the additions. I mean, Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, Savage, Amos, those guys have helped a lot. But I think it's a lot of the young guys that have really just gotten better and better. I mean, Jaire Alexander is an excellent, excellent player. And I think Kenny Clark, Bill, is one of the most underrated players in the entire league right now. I mean, Kenny Clark is an absolute force and a dude up front. So they've got a real good combination of, you know, some young veterans that were already on the team, and then they added the pieces where Petten wanted to add them, you know, at places like safety and at edge rusher. And And now they're a formidable bunch. This feels like the best Packers defense in a while.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of people are thinking here as well, just for the fact that we haven't seen anything that's been, I guess, this steady. I might be the best way to put it. I don't want to say that they're spectacular, and I don't know if they're going to have all pro guys from top to bottom, but the last time they won a Super Bowl, they had the likes of Charles Woodson, Defensive Player of the Year. They had an up-and-comer in Nick Collins, who probably goes on to a Hall of Fame career had he not hurt his neck. You had the best of Clay Matthews, the best of A.J. Hawk at the time, and B.J. Raji anchored the middle. You had Pro Bowlers there. I don't know if they've got that many Pro Bowlers here, but I know they're solid. I mean, do you see guys that are burgeoning that could turn into something like that?
Yeah, I would say the last two guys I mentioned, I think, are both Pro Bowl caliber players. I think Kenny Clark, as well as Jair Alexander, those guys are going to be Pro Bowl players. Mm-hmm. I really believe that. And I would even say the early returns on Darnell Savage are really promising as well. And they, I mean, did Rashawn Gary play on Sunday? Because they haven't even really gotten him into the mix.
They haven't. I mean, he's been out there. He hasn't done a whole lot as of right now.
Yeah. Well, everybody, I think, knew that he was a little raw and that his skills needed to be developed. But that's the other thing, is it feels like they've got pretty good depth, too, with Gary, a guy like Kyler Fackrell, you know, certainly on the secondary. Mm-hmm. You know, they need some. I don't think you want Tremont Williams playing as much as he is, but King and Alexander, you know, I don't think they have a championship caliber roster right now, but I could see them potentially having a championship caliber roster next year.
Go back to Aaron Rodgers. Look, I think the relationship between him and Matt LaFleur is being way overanalyzed. I think it's ridiculous at this point. This is two guys that want to win, and they're still learning a different – Aaron Rodgers is still learning a different language. How long do you give it before you still see Aaron Rodgers become that Aaron Rodgers comfortable guy?
You know, I don't know the answer to that. I've been thinking about that because if you think about it, he wasn't really comfortable last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like people are like, oh, he just needs to get comfortable in the new offense. Well, okay, well, he was comfortable in the old offense last year and still didn't look great. And I know that, you know, up there, and maybe you'll correct me if I'm wrong, Bill, but up there it's almost like sacrilegious to say anything negative about Aaron. But the reality is, you know, he's not playing as well as he needs to. You know, he's not playing like an elite player. He misses some throws he shouldn't miss. He takes sacks that absolutely he should not be taking. That's a negative play. I mean, you know how hard it is to come back and still get a first down and continue a series after you take a sack like he does? It's troubling. Mm-hmm. You would think at this stage of his career that he would be better at that and past that, but he's really not. I know last year he threw the ball away a lot, and I was kind of proud of him. I thought that was a positive, but on that part of it, he's not throwing the ball away as much. And I know he's just trying to buy time, Bill, to make a play, and I get it, but I would think that his decision-making in that regard would be better at this point.
Talking with Ross Tucker, Radio.com Sports NFL Insider, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. You look at the rest of the division, beating the Bears on that night down there on that Thursday night to kick off the season, and then beating the Vikings. I listen to people say, yeah, but it's Mitch Trubisky, or they'll say, yeah, but Kirk Cousins played stupid. Look, a win's a win. You know that as well as anybody. I don't care if it's pretty or if it's ugly. It doesn't matter. You're 2-0 right now, and you beat two of the better defenses in the league. I think the Packers are being a little bit disrespected. Do you?
Well, and not only that, I mean, those are the teams in their division. They can't help it that Trubisky's not good in their division. And by mm-hmm. the way, he wasn't great last year, and they went 12-4.
Right.
And, you know, they can't help it that the Vikings kicker was off and that Cousins threw one of the dumbest picks I've seen in a long time on first and goal with 5 minutes left in the game. I have no idea why he would throw that in the corner of the end zone. If you can't tell, Bill, on the Even Money Sports Betting podcast I have, I told people to take the Vikings and the points. So I'm kind of annoyed by the Vikings kicker and Kirk Cousins right now. Because, you know, I thought maybe the Packers would win the game. I just thought with the points it was worth it. But, man, and then the Lions, I don't really take them that seriously. Although they're getting a really nice opportunity to play the Eagles on Sunday, where the Eagles, I don't think they'll have their top two wide receivers and Alshon Jeffrey and DeSean Jackson. I know they won't have two of their top three D tackles. So I actually give the Lions a chance in that game, which I wouldn't have a week or two ago. But this is a great opportunity for the Packers with all the young guys they do have to win this division this year. And then once you get in the playoffs, you never know. Do I think that they're as good as Dallas or the Rams or the Eagles? No, I don't. But you never know what could happen in that situation. And I think it'd be very healthy for them to win the division, try to make a playoff run, because I think if they just add a couple more pieces next offseason and get a little deeper, we could be talking about them as a legitimate Super Bowl contender.
That was going to be my next question. Looking at the rest of the NFC, are the Packers, if let's just say they do get the win over Denver, they do get the win at home because they have a lot of home games. They're front-loaded with home games. They get the win over Philadelphia, and I think Philadelphia is still a very good football team. But you start off 4-0 in the season. You're pretty much ruling the roost at home. Is this team that type of team that if all of a sudden that offense starts to click with the defense that they have, barring massive injuries, that this could then be considered that kind of a team?
Well, I think the offense would have to click, like you said. And we don't have any evidence of that really yet, although obviously they started pretty hot against the Vikings. But it's also a long season. I mean, if it were that easy, everybody would be doing it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it takes some time to work through the kinks. And I think that they could get to the point later in the year where we're feeling like, okay, this offense is good enough that they could compete with the Cowboys and compete with the Rams. I was also a little concerned about what I've seen from the offensive line. I mean, Lane Taylor and Billy Turner, you know, that's been a strength of the Packers for a while. I'm not sure it is this year.
Right. Yeah, no, I completely agree. I mean, they've already graded out pretty poorly in certain situations. So if there's an Achilles heel right now that I can see with the offense, that's probably it. And we all know it all starts up front. So maybe once they get it together, the offense begins to click. Ross, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, man. I certainly appreciate it. We will chat again soon, I'm sure, okay?
Yeah, anytime, Bill. You know that, man. See ya.
Absolutely, pal. Talk to you later. There you go. Ross Tucker, Radio.com, NFL Insider, joining us. And you can catch Ross every weekday from 7 to 10 a.m. Central Time on the Home and Home, his new show, which is out now on Radio.com/home, or just search Home and Home on the Radio.com app. You can download that app, and you can favorite us. Go find Ross. A lot of good stuff there on the Radio.com app, a lot of sports programming. Thanks again to Ross Tucker for joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com, 844-PRIDE, or go to SchneiderJobs.com. Reminder, tomorrow on the program, live and in studio, Ron Wolf, the former general manager of the Green Bay Packers. He is going to be here, and I'm looking forward, almost like a fireside chat with Ron Wolf tomorrow as he comes in and chats with us a little bit about all of his experiences with rebuilding the Green Bay Packers and bringing the title back to Title Town and life thereafter. So hang in there for that. More of the Bill Michaels Show up next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are glad you are on board as always. Hey, the breakfast combo over there at Quick Trip, the breakfast sandwich and the 16-ounce Caruba coffee or cappuccino, just $3.49. You can choose an Angus, or bagel sandwich and 16-ounce cup of coffee for only $3.99. And today only, by the way, grilled cheese for $1. Just like Mom used to make. Grilled cheese for $1. Stop into any Quick Trip and grab that for yourself, and also get the Quick Rewards card if you don't have one already, or download the app on any mobile device you may have, and track your points along the way, and you're good to go. That's from our friends over there at Quick Trip. Just kind of wrapping some things up on this whole thing with the Green Bay Packers and maybe the lack of respect, if you want to call it that they're receiving right now, starting out 2-0 on this season. Just kind of going through some of the emails that I've got. This one's from Ken that says, this is ridiculous. The Green Bay Packers have played two top-quality defenses and beaten both of them. Why would they not get quality chatter nationally. This is from our buddy Dwayne, who says, I believe the Green Bay Packers are a good football team, yet flawed offensively. Can they take Aaron Rodgers' ego out of the mix and make this a better team? Dwayne, look, Aaron Rodgers, why do people think it's this huge ego that's not allowing him to be better? That's not it. He's just a competitive guy. You know, last year, going into the season, everybody thought, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Mike McCarthy, same page, it's going to be great. And then the belief was that, which was really interesting because so many people wanted to get rid of Mike McCarthy anyway because they felt it had become stale and the message was old and the offense was predictable. And then all of a sudden, well, it wasn't necessarily Mike McCarthy's fault. Now it's the ego of Aaron Rodgers that he was the coach killer. And, you know, man, it's just, give the guy a chance. He's two games into the season with a brand new head coach and a whole new, when it comes to verbiage of the offense, and people are killing this guy. Just relax. There are certain things that you can say, okay, maybe that rubs me a little bit the wrong way. But the guy's always spoken his mind. The guy's always been, at least tried to be, pretty honest. I've heard all the right things so far this year when it comes to taking responsibility. I've appreciated what I've seen out of Aaron Rodgers this year. And it is a work in progress. And they did get better in this second game versus the first game. So if they get better again in the next game and say they put up 28 or put up 35 in the next game and beat Denver, you know, 35-17 or something like that, then at what point do you say, look, he's getting it, he's absorbing it, he's learning just like, you know, the rest of that offense is learning. And if he doesn't get it or he doesn't have it down, then certainly nobody else is going to. So right now the biggest concern for me is maybe up front, the offensive line, stability on the offensive line, consistency on the offensive line. That's where I'm kind of at with all of this. I'm not worried about Aaron Rodgers. As our buddy Steve out in Richfield says, I agree that the Aaron Rodgers, Matt LaFleur crap has got to stop. It's my opinion that local fans are making the big deal out of it because they've never played the game, fully understand the game, or never put on a jockstrap. I remember years past when the Packers won a close game, and they did it because the defense did enough to support the offense. So far this year, the offense is doing enough to support the defense. The offense made some great strides from week 1 to week 2 and will continue to get better as they learn a new system. Also, keep in mind they are 2-0 against two top 10 defenses. Yes, the Packers deserve more respect than they are getting right now. They have my utmost respect. The Brewers have the second September sizzle going on. Feel free to use that, by the way, he says. With 12 to go, I definitely think they're going to go at least 8-4 and let the chips fall where they may. Craig Council has this team very close-knit, and they pick each other up when they're down. I loved it last night when Arcia got the double and held up the twos to let Christian Yelich know they have his back. That should be a great September. That's our buddy Steve listening to us in Richfield. In the meantime, Mike writes, I think Aaron Rodgers has made strides. I still think he wants to do things his own way. It was great to see Matt LaFleur get in his face, and those two have a really good exchange. It's a healthy exchange to air it all out and then become even closer along the way. My wife and I would yell at each other, and then by the end of the night, we had a better understanding of as to where each other are at. This is a working relationship, a marriage between a head coach and a quarterback. I think it's going to be great for the game and great for the Green Bay Packers. Just let it marinate, which that's a great way of putting it. I mean, he probably sees more of Matt LaFleur and vice versa than those two see each other, their families, or girlfriends, or wives, or whatever. So you're right; it is a marriage. It's a guy that's not only a head coach, but he's a play caller as well, and he's got to be on the same page with the guy that's running the offense. So I'm in that camp. I don't know if I'm convincing people of this or that's the way people genuinely feel, but on this program, I'm not making a big deal out of the Aaron Rodgers thing. It's just not there. There's no substance to it right now. If we see it continuously and they're really jawing at each other, and as Aaron Rodgers said, hey, we're not MFing each other, and then they start MFing each other, well, then you've got a genuine concern. But right now, this is just two guys trying to work it out in the heat of the moment. Aaron Rodgers mad about the scenario that went down, coming off the field, having to punt away the football. You know, Matt LaFleur saying, what are you doing? You know, and then they kind of get on each other and they go, okay, like, what can we do better? Let's move forward. We're not going to dwell on it. Let's just move forward and go from there. And you're hearing all the right things in the post-game press conferences. Let it go. Let it go for right now. I mean, you can revisit it later down the road, but right now, just let it go, man. This one is from our buddy Gary. He says, hey, Bill, how about marketing our defense by putting long beards on the Smith brothers with the phrase, our Smith brothers make you cough up the ball? Meaning the Smith brothers cough drops, if you haven't seen that, that's where he's going with it. That I like that. That's boy, that's a little thinking outside the box. That's a little bit deeper thinking than we normally get on this program. That's fantastic. I appreciate that right there. This one's from Joe. He writes in the Wendy's email inbox. Do you think that Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur are saying things correctly in public, but really behind closed doors are having issues? Just a thought. No, Joe, just for the fact that we would have seen that in the past. We've seen history in the past where if something's really bothering Aaron, he's kind of let it out. Aaron's a very calculated guy, very smart guy in what he says, for the most part. And not everything I completely agree with when it comes to the image as to what's going on or being portrayed, but he's a pretty smart guy. So, no, if there was problems, you'd know about it. Do I think that they're, you know, sitting down to dinner together every night and calling each other on the phone and texting emojis back and forth and Snapchatting with dog ears and dog tongue hanging out? No, not at all. But I think that they genuinely challenge each other. I do think that. And I think Aaron's enjoying an offense with motion, an offense that makes him think, an offense that is challenging him, you know? And maybe this is a couple of years too late, you know? You might have liked to have seen this happen a couple of years ago, so by now it's old hat, and in the last 3, 4, 5 years of Aaron Rodgers' career, you know, you're seeing this at its peak rather than its installation process, but... No, I'm liking it. I'm appreciating what's going on right now. 855-830-8648. Hey, do not forget that we were talking about the golf outing a little bit earlier. If you want to join us, get involved. Next Wednesday out at Western Lakes, it's the Sports Radio 105.7 FM The Fan Golf Outing. You can go to the website, go to 105.7fmthefan.com, and go to the events page and check in. And we'd love to have you out there golfing with us and enjoying the day. And it's for Give Kids the World Village, so it's for a very worthy cause. It's brought to you by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. So we look forward to seeing you out there next Wednesday on the links. When we come back, it is frenzy time. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back to the program, and the Bill Michaels Show continues on. We wrap up week one, week two in the NFL, and we do it via the frenzy. Like we do each and every week, we'll start out the 49ers. They're on the road. They're in Cincinnati taking on the Bengals. The 49ers scorching them. The Bengals have nothing to offer. Jimmy Garoppolo finds Deebo Samuel for the score.
Jeff Wilson Jr. is in. He scored his first touchdown in the NFL earlier. Goes into a true eye behind Juszczyk. They're going to play action. Juszczyk goes to the flat. The ball goes to the end zone for Deebo Samuel in the second level. Touchdown, San Francisco!
I got to tell you, it sounds better every time you say it.
Jimmy Garoppolo, 17 of 25, 297 yards, 3 touchdowns against a porous Bengals defense, a quarterback rating of 131.2. He did throw 1 pick. Samuel, 5 catches, 87 yards, and had that 1 touchdown on the day. And Cincinnati, they just look ugly at 0-2, 41-17, the final in that contest. Meanwhile, the Lions taking on the Chargers. Matt Stafford connects with Kenny Golladay.
First and 10 now from the LA 31. Lions down 4 in the fourth. Stafford's got it. Looks, loads, throws, deep middle. And he's caught! Touchdown, Detroit Lions! Oh, Kenny Golladay, that's outstanding! That is outstanding! Oh, 31 yards, and the Lions have the lead for the first time today. Damn. Stafford put that on a rope.
There you have it. That's on the Lions Radio Network. Matt Stafford, 22 of 30, 245 yards. Had the longest of the day, 36 yards, couple of touchdowns, couple of picks, though. Still gave the ball up a couple of times, but Golladay there, 8 catches, 117 yards, the long one being a 31-yarder right there for the touchdown. Meanwhile, Phillip Rivers, 21 of 36, 293 yards. Sacked only one time, but did not throw one into the end zone and had a pick on the day. 73 was his quarterback rating, and they still do not have a running back that is of any quality. Eckler, 17 carries, 66 yards, and nothing else back there right now. Still waiting for that thing to get going. Colts, Titans, Jacoby Brissett. He continues to have some good chemistry with T.Y. Hilton. Here it is.
Brissett out of the gun. He will back to throw. Lobs it in the end zone looking for T.Y. Touchdown! Touchdown, T.Y.! Touchdown, I-N-D-Y! A 4-yard touchdown pass, Jacoby Brissett to T.Y. Hilton. That's a career-high touchdowns in a single game for Jacoby Brissett with three, and the Colts are right back on top.
Colts 19-17 winners. Jacoby Brissett, 17 of 28, 146 yards. He was sacked three times, three touchdowns on the day. Did have one pick, 95.2 quarterback rating. Marcus Mariota, not bad day, 19 of 28, 154 yards, though, but he was harassed. Four sacks on the day, hit four more times, 93.5 quarterback rating, only one touchdown to show for it, and that's the way things ended up there in Tennessee. Meanwhile, the Patriots, the Dolphins, New England just destroys Ryan Fitzpatrick. Here it is.
Fitzpatrick on third and two, rolling right, and he throws a traffic intercepted, picked off by Gilmore, who is gone. Right down the middle, 25-20, goodbye to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Courtesy of the Patriots radio network, and they just destroyed him, 43-0. Tom Brady, 20 of 28, two touchdowns, 264 yards, quarterback rating of 124.7. Ryan Fitzpatrick sucked. 11 of 21, 89 yards, three picks on the day. Just remember when he was all that in a bag of chips, and now you couldn't get a bag of chips for him. 23.8 quarterback rating. They bring in Josh Rosen, who wasn't much better. 7 of 18, 97 yards. He was picked off. 33.8 quarterback rating there. Just Antonio Brown, by the way, did have a touchdown in that ball game, but who cares? Bills and Giants, the durability of Frank Gore, he's just massive. He scores this touchdown for Buffalo. Here it is.
Snap. Frank Gore buries his head, drives in into the end zone. Touchdown. Frank Gore just bowls his way into the end zone from 1 yard out. He steamrolled his way into the end zone.
1 yard touchdown run, 28-14. The Buffalo Bills, they get the win in this contest. They go on the road and get the win. Gore, 19 carries, 68 yards. Had a touchdown on the day. Allen goes 19 of 30, 253 yards, sacked three times, a touchdown. Quarterback rating of 101.1. You've got Eli Manning, who has now been officially benched, 26 of 45, 255 yards, sacked once, two picks, one touchdown, 62.3 quarterback rating. And he has now lost his job, and the beginning of the end is now much, much nearer for Eli Manning and his time in New York, as the Buffalo Bills go in and beat the Giants. That was on the Buffalo Bills radio network, by the way, and Buffalo 28-14 winners in that contest. Meanwhile, the Seahawks and the Steelers, Russell Wilson, he hooks up with DK Metcalf for his first career touchdown.
Penny is wide to the right. Let's keep an eye on Will Disley, the tight end. Russell takes the snap, looks far side. He's going to throw downfield. He's got Metcalf. He's got a touchdown, Seahawks. DK Metcalf one-on-one down the far sidelines. Good luck. Perfect pass by Russell Wilson. A 28-yard strike. That's number 201 touchdowns for Russell Wilson. What a Hall of Fame career he is having. And he's got another 20 or 30 years left. 27-19, the Seahawks leading.
28-26, the Seahawks go on the road. The Steelers go to 0-2. The Seahawks go to 2-0. They get a win. That's on the Seahawks radio network. And in the meantime, you've got Big Ben Roethlisberger out for the season with an elbow injury. He was only 8 of 15 at the time he went down. Meanwhile, Russell Wilson, 29 of 35, 300 yards, three touchdowns, and a quarterback rating of 131.1. Getting it done. Tyler Lockett, by the way, targeted 12 times, 10 catches, 79 yards on the day. He was the main receiver for Russell Wilson in that effort. Meanwhile, they got the Cowboys and the Redskins. Dak Prescott, he continues to look great. Amari Cooper on the receiving end.
Tight end in motion, sets up behind the tackle. Back to his left, second and eight. Going to throw. Time over the middle. Down to the five, walking into the end zone. Touchdown to Amari Cooper!
31-21, the final. The Cowboys get the win. Dak Prescott, 26 of 30, 269 yards. A fantastic day, short of the one blemish of the interception. He had a 51-yard touchdown pass in this one as well. Three TDs on the day, 123.5. Gallup catches the most, six catches, 68 yards. But Amari Cooper, four catches, 44 yards. Had that one touchdown there. And in addition to that, Zeke Elliott, 23 carries, 111 yards, averaging just under 5 yards per carry and a touchdown to show for it as well. And the way it ended up, 31-21, the Dallas Cowboys walk away with a victory. They go to 2-0. The Redskins are 0-2. The Ravens and the Cardinals, Lamar Jackson to Mark Andrews. Here it is.
First and 10 at the Arizona 27. Hollywood Brown goes in motion, sweeps behind Lamar Jackson, who pumps to the right, looking for the end zone, fires down the sideline. He's got Mark Andrews. Touchdown, Ravens! Mark Andrews wide open down on the sideline. All eyes on Hollywood, and the Ravens get the Cardinals to take the bait, and the Ravens take the lead.
And the Ravens kept the lead. 23-17, the final in that contest on the Ravens Radio Network. Kyle Murray, though, not a terrible day. 25 of 40, 349 yards, but he was harassed, sacked three times. No touchdowns, no picks, quarterback rating a 90.5. Jackson goes 24 of 37, 272 yards, a couple of touchdowns, a 104.8 quarterback rating on the afternoon. By the way, Jackson, 16 carries, 120 yards, doing it on the ground as well, while Mark Ingram, 13 carries, 47 yards officially for their run game. But the Ravens, they get the win 23-17. They are now 2-0 in that division, a division in which it looked like Cleveland was going to run away with. At least that was the prediction at the beginning of the season. Hasn't happened for Cleveland, hasn't happened for Pittsburgh, and certainly not happening for Cincinnati. Texans and the Jaguars. Deshaun Watson had this 2-yard score. Here it is.
Watson, shotgun. Johnson to his left, bunch formation right. Fourth down and a yard at the Jacksonville 2. QT in motion to the left. Watson takes the snap, rolling to the right. Deshaun wants to run it. He weaves inside. He's got the goal line. Touchdown, Deshaun Watson. And the Texans are up 2 scores.
And the Texans ended up getting the win in that contest. They end up going up 13-12. That was the score late in the fourth quarter. And they knocked off the Jaguars. Jaguars go to 0-2. Texans now sitting at 1-1 on the season. Meanwhile, the Chiefs and the Raiders, Patrick Mahomes, he continues to look like Patrick Mahomes.
Second and 17, Mahomes. Damian Williams, right halfback, pressure. Floating a pass, Kelce near side, over the shoulder, makes the catch in traffic. Touchdown, Kansas City. Mahomes, his third touchdown pass.
Of the quarter, by the way, of the quarter. Patrick Mahomes and company put up 28 points in the third quarter, didn't score anything before that, didn't score anything after that, but that was enough to hold on. 28-10, the final. Patrick Mahomes, 30 of 44, 443 yards, I should say, four touchdowns on the day, and a 131.2 quarterback rating. He threw to Travis Kelce seven times for seven catches, 107 yards, and a touchdown there. Meanwhile, Derek Carr, 23 of 38, 198 yards, three sacks, one touchdown, two picks, 61.1 quarterback rating. And that was courtesy of the Chiefs Radio Network. Meanwhile, this was it. Eddie Pinheiro with the Bears. The Bears, they lost the game, then they drove back, and Eddie Pinheiro wins the game. Here it is.
Scales down the ball. O'Donnell the hole from the right hash. Angle to the left. Good placement. Boot by Eddie Pinheiro. Kick to the uprights. Then the kick is good for the win. Pinheiro with the narrow kick to send Denver down as time expires. Bears 16, Denver 14. They escape with the victory on the road. Rarely done here in Denver in the first 2 weeks of the season. Bears are 1-1. Fade to black.
That's Jeff Joniak on the Bears Radio Network. Fade to black. Trubisky, not great. 16 of 27, only 120 yards. That was it for him. No sacks, no touchdowns, no picks. By the way, no sacks, that's significant because that Denver defense, they were coming after him, but they were not going to put him in a position to be knocked around. 18 carries for Montgomery, 62 yards and a touchdown on the day. Joe Flacco, 35 of 50, 292 yards, sacked twice, had a touchdown, had a pick. 83.1 quarterback rating. They moved the football. They just couldn't punch it into the end zone. And it ended up with the Bears winning there, as you heard, via Jeff Joniak. Rams and Saints. Jared Goff hits Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks. You'd love to see him in a Packers uniform, wouldn't you? Hit for the touchdown.
Goff stands up. He throws the slant. It's plucked out of the air by Brandon Cooks underneath the goalpost. How did he catch that fastball from Jared Goff?
27-9, the final. That's on the Rams Radio Network. Jared Goff, 19 of 28, 283 yards and a touchdown. Meanwhile, you've got Drew Brees. He goes 3 of 5, and then he hits that thumb, and he tears tendons, and it's going to be a while for him before he's back. Teddy Bridgewater goes 17 of 30, 165 yards and a quarterback rating of 72.2. Not a touchdown, not a pick to show for his day. That was, again, on the Rams Radio Network as the Rams get a 27-9 victory over the Saints. Then you've got the Falcons and the Eagles. Matt Ryan to Julio Jones for this one.
Snap to Ryan. Here comes Philly. Quick throw. This is Julio Jones. 45-40. 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown Atlanta. Holy goodness smokes.
What a great call by either Matt Ryan or Dirk Cutter or both.
Falcons Radio Network, and that score puts the Falcons up on top for good. 24-20, the final. Matt Ryan, 27-43, 320 yards, a touchdown, or three touchdowns, but three picks on the day. Giving it up. Carson Wentz, 25 of 43, 231 yards, a touchdown, but two picks on the day. So some turnovers that ended up costing the game. Even though Matt Ryan had more turnovers, it did not ultimately cost them. Julio Jones coming up big there. And Julio Jones, by the way, five catches, 106 yards, 54 being the long one right there, and a couple of touchdowns. He was a scoring machine if you had him in fantasy. So that was the way things ended up, 24-20 for the Atlanta Falcons. And then, last but not least, the Browns. Speaking of long TDs, Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham Jr.
Baker Mayfield starts at his own 10.5-yard line. Here's Mayfield throwing, and it's Odell Beckham Jr. in the clear. 35, 40, he's to the 50, he's running to the 40, he's going into the end zone. 10, 5, touchdown, he's arrived back in the end zone at MetLife Stadium. 89 yards, OBJ!
23-3, the final, as the Browns finally look like the team that everybody expected them to be. They beat the Jets. That's on the Browns Radio Network. And Baker Mayfield, 19-35, 325 yards, a touchdown, a pick on the day, an 83.6 quarterback rating. But Odell Beckham Jr., six catches, 161 yards, 89 being that long one right there for a touchdown. Le'Veon Bell, he had 21 carries, 68 yards, 3.2 yards per carry. He had 10 catches out of the backfield for 61 yards, though. So an all-purpose back. And that is your football frenzy. We're going to wrap things up next to the Bill Michael Show.
Strong, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Hopefully you're enjoying your day. Speaking of your day, if your day is going to continue on our local station at 105.7 FM, thefan.com, or anywhere else that you're listening to him on the radio.com app, David Bakhtiari makes his weekly visit. I'm going to be interested in listening to that because the offensive line has not, we'll say, played extremely well. So we'll see what David Bakhtiari has to say about that coming up a little bit later on this afternoon. Tomorrow on the program, a reminder, Ron Wolf is going to be here, the former general manager of your Green Bay Packers. He's the orchestrator of the return to Titletown, bringing in Brett Favre and Reggie White and everything that went on, all the way from Mike Holmgren to Ray Rhodes to Mike Sherman. Brett Favre, obviously, and a lot of advice that was given and listened to. We'll talk with him about Elliott Wolf's departure from the franchise and ultimately, you know, heading over to Cleveland and, you know, kind of how he feels about the Green Bay Packers organization as one of the grandfathers of the organization, if you will. And we'll get into that whole discussion tomorrow. We'll just kind of catch up and see how he's doing and talk and reminisce. And I was just telling Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, who was in the studio a little while ago, one of the neat things and one of my best memories of Ron Wolf, and I'll see if he remembers this tomorrow, was I was standing on the floor as we were doing the broadcast for the Super Bowl back in 2010, 2011, and I'm standing there, and time ticks down. And now I've got the pack and the radio microphone and everything, and I'm heading out onto the field, and the confetti starts to fly. And I'm standing maybe within 10, 15 feet of the stage there, that podium. Terry Bradshaw's up there, and Aaron Rodgers, and Clay Matthews, and Mark Murphy, and everybody, and Mike McCarthy. And they're hoisting the Lombardi Trophy. And everybody's kind of hugging. And then Ron Wolf, and you can see it in the video. You don't see the end of the video because Ron Wolf, and I'd gotten to know Ron pretty well over the years. And Ron Wolf comes over and bear hugs me and just knocks the phone out of my hand. And that's I'm kind of just basking in the glow of the moment because there's sometimes you don't have an emotion. You are just trying to take it all in. That's what I was trying to do. And trying to get a little bit of phone video. You know, it's not great, but it's good enough. And it takes you there. And then at the very bottom of the camera, you see Ron Wolf walking towards me. And he kind of ducks down and then bam, you know, then the video ends right after that. But it was such an incredible experience to be a part of, that franchise at the time and working with the radio broadcast at the time and being down in Dallas and being there on the floor, on the field as the confetti's flying and families are gathering. And, you know, obviously you got Charles Woodson, you know, Donald Driver, those guys are banged up and, you know, you just kind of take every emotion in. Guys that are hurt that couldn't play, guys that could play that had given their all. Nick Collins, who came away as, you know, kind of a hero out of that game. Just all of that, you soak it all in. And then there was Ron Wolf walking over to me. We got a little bit of a chat after the ball game. So I remember standing on the field ahead of time. I'm down there with the Packers doctor, Dr. McKenzie. And we're just kind of BSing, you know, and all of a sudden this little short guy comes over. He starts talking to us, and I look over and I realize that's Will.i.am. Because remember, the Black Eyed Peas were doing the halftime show. I'm like, that's Will.i.am. He starts talking to us, just chit chatting. The guy's like, you know, 5'5. He's tiny. I could put him in my back pocket. Sitting there BSing with him a little bit. You know, it was just such a cool experience. So we'll talk about that coming up tomorrow as well. So enjoy Ron Wolf on the program then as well. So that's it. Going to go ahead and get out of here. Remember, David Bakhtiari coming up on the flagship station out of Milwaukee for the afternoon show. Stay tuned for that. Elsewhere, you enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll be all back here gathered up tomorrow. Until then, have a going. Sleep.
Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.